Park, July 13th to 15th. Experience the music of your world with artists from across North America and around the globe coming to make this the best weekend of your summer. Artists this year include the great Rye Cooter featuring the Hamiltones, the glorious Nico Case, the exciting Son Jarocho of Mexico's Son de Madeira, Rodney Crowell, Juno winners The Dead South, bluesman Guy Davis, Mozambique's Wazimbo and Banda Kakana, Alex Cuba, and many more. Come to the beach to hear a world of music and magic at the Vancouver Folk Music Festival. Info and tickets at thefestival.bc.ca.
Hey, it's Cynthia from The Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving, Cape Barber, and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
Discordianism is a religion and subsequent philosophy.
The Discordian faith seem to be much more forgiving of the normals.
Yeah, the goddess of chaos, or archetypes, or
ideas. It's about a really heavy interest in Discordianism.
Founded after the 1963 publication of its holy book, The Principia Discordia.
Discorder magazine has been Vancouver's longest-running, free, badass, independent magazine 35 years strong. On Saturday, July 21st, celebrate 401 issues of Discorder magazine with an all-ages party at Red Gate. There will be performances by BB, Francesca Belcourt, Morning Coup, and The New Rituals, guest hosted by Dunkin's Donuts, and featuring a photo booth, giant twister, and more. Tickets are a suggested donation of $10 and doors open at 8. For more information, visit citr.ca or find the event on Facebook. Hi, everybody. Hi. Wait, it's just me. It's just Tristan today. Usually, in the studio with me is my co-host Jack, but I'm gonna have to figure it out myself today. You're, of course, listening to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the University of where? Oh, yeah. Usually, Jack will jump in and he'll say British Columbia. But yeah, it's University of British Columbia on the unceded territories of the Musqueam people. I guess it's just going to have to be me today. So if it's your first time listening to Radio Pizza Party, which I pray it is, we're always looking for new listeners. I know I am. We are a talk show. We are a variety of nature, a variety show of nature. But usually we have a guest. Usually it's not just one person, but today, look, it's just me. And I'm learning, as you're listening, to deal with this. I have a separation anxiety with my co-host, and he's separated, and I'm anxious. And that's the true issue with this whole situation. But we're going to soldier on. So Jack is up in Whistler for the weekend. So thumbs up to that guy. Am I right? So on today's show, it's a bit different today, obviously, because Jack's gone. I have a little bit more music planned than usual, given that there's no one else to speak to. So I got some music planned. I got an interview, which I'll talk to you guys. I'll talk about in just a few moments here. But yeah, usually we have a guest on here. We have topics. We have segments. If this is your time listening after you saw us in Discorder, I am so sorry because this is not an indication of what the show usually is, but that's okay. Sometimes shows change week to week. But the main feature of our show today is an interview, as I mentioned. So the other day, there's a bit of a story to this, but a little while ago, I was going through our library at CITR, going through the music library, looking for things to listen to, and I saw a file with the band name Near Castlegar. And if you're a regular listener, you will see that, you will know that I am from the city of Castlegar, and I'm okay. I survived. So I was intrigued, so I clicked the file, and I listened to some of the music, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. I wonder more about this band. So after doing some Googling, I found that they were a band in the 1994, and did some more research, and I tracked down the sole member of Near Castlegar. The man's name was Justice Sean Farber, who was a indie musician, indie rock and roller, a rocker and a roller in the 90s, early 90s, who is now, as of 2008, a relationship and sex counselor. So I, being the curious person, figured, hey, why don't I reach out to this guy and see if he would like to talk to us for a show? From indie rock superstar, to counselor is an interesting road to go down. So we spoke with Justice the other day and talked about his music, talked about his switches from music and his current career. Just for some context, I realized I didn't mention it in the interview, which I'm about to play. I didn't mention what kind of music that Sean Farber did in the band Near Castlegar. It's kind of like almost jangly REM kind of indie. He mentions Sonic Youth and stuff. It's like a little toned down, a little less intense than Sonic Youth. And then the other band, which we talk extensively about, Good Horsey, is a little more relaxed, a little more acoustic, with those sort of elements. A little more, a little more percussive, I guess you'd say. So why don't we go to the interview with Justice? This was me and Jack done the other day. So listen to that. Justice Sean Farber is a sex and relationship author and therapist based in Campbell River, BC. His articles on relationships have been published at places like the Huffington Post and the Good Men Project, and his book is called The Reconnection Handbook for Couples, Insights and Practices for Cultivating Love, Sex, and Intimacy, Even in Difficult Times. But way, way before this, Sean Farber was a member of many indie rock bands, notably Good Horsey, Port Queen, and Near Castlegar, and which is exactly why we've brought him onto the show today. Is this all correct?
Sounds about right.
Oh, okay, awesome. We did it.
Fact-checking success.
Wonderful. So, I guess we'll just start chronologically. Where are you from?
Not my gift.
Not your gift. Where did you grow up? Where are you from? How'd you get interested in music?
Well, as you determined, maybe you didn't determine this. I was born near Castlegar.
There you go.
Yeah. So my birth certificate, place of birth, actually says Near Castlegar. I was born in a small Dukobor commune.
Okay.
In 1971. Our family were hippies, and we bounced around a fair bit in a Volkswagen van. And we ended up in Victoria, where I mostly grew up, and then Vancouver, where I moved when I was about 18.
Well, interesting. So you didn't spend a lot of time growing up actually in Castlegar, which is, like I said in the email to you, which is where I'm from, and that's actually how I found out about you is because you were in a band called Near Castlegar, which I saw in our library here at CITR. Saw Near Castlegar and hunted you down, but you didn't really spend much time actually in Castlegar, just got the berth out of the way and left?
Just got the berth out of the way and headed out. The folks had other plans.
Cool, cool.
How did your parents end up in a Dukobor commune?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's a long story. You know, it involves, like, hippie culture, homesteading, draft dodging, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So how did you get involved with music? Did you start young at, like, a specific instrument? And then what were your influences with that?
I think I just wanted to, you know, guitars are always around, and I picked one up and thought it, like, felt cool and, like, sounded cool and probably looked cool. And I liked music. I was into punk rock as an adolescent. Mm-hmm. Definitely had, like, a suburban heavy metal upbringing, and then, like, discovering punk rock at 14, maybe. Kind of played around in some with my friends, trying to, like, play punk rock until someone made us shut up. and then got into indie rock, like, you know, post-punk indie rock, like 16, 17, like, discovered, like, Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr., probably, like, in Flipside magazine or something.
Okay.
Picked up some cassette tapes, and it really, like, blew my mind.
Wow. So what were the punk groups that you were into when you were younger?
Like some classic Canadian stuff, right? Like SNFU. Let's see, Victoria bands. The first gig I went to was No Means No. Would have been like around 84, 85. In Victoria at the Fernwood Community Center, and I loved them. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? So, like, some, like, bad British stuff, some good, like, Vancouver stuff, like, The Spores, and even though by the time I moved to Vancouver, I wasn't so much into punk rock. It's really going back. DRI, I remember seeing DRI in, like, the basement in Victoria, and, like, 300 people packed into there.
Uh-huh.
It was quite a scene, quite a time.
Okay, cool. So then, from being a teen, kind of interested in these kind of cool bands, like you said, Sonic Youth and stuff, you then went on to join some groups. Ones I have... And I'm not sure the chronology on these because the only source is Discogs, which I don't know who's updating that. But Octatractor, Port Queen, Good Horsey. What is the chronology of that? How did you get involved with those people and that sort of stuff?
When I moved to Vancouver when I was 18, I found a little record store down at the base of Cambie. Underneath the sidewalk, called Scratch Records.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know that place?
I don't know.
They moved.
I'm gonna do a quick Google and see if that still exists.
So I made friends with the owner there named Keith Perry, and he's a few years older than me.
Okay.
He lived in the back of this little store in this, like, little cubby hole. And I thought it was a pretty cool place to hang out. And I ended up working there part-time just because I wanted to absorb the scene and the music and meet people and stuff. I just moved to town. And we became friends and played together a little bit. But that was kind of the hub for me, or the epicenter. You know, you scribble up a little poster looking for people to make music like this and put it on the wall, and people phone you, and And I ended up living in a house with 4 to 6 roommates at any time, and they all played in bands, and sometimes we'd play together, and that became a bit of a hub for me too. So the guys I played with in Good Horsey, we all lived together in that house and recorded in the basement. That was probably the highlight for me, was living with those guys and making that music and just everything that went along with it. So I would have, by that time I would have been like in my early 20s.
Okay.
Port Queen was like, when I worked at the record store, I got introduced to ambient, abstract noise, music, and mm-hmm. art, and it really kind of struck a chord with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started experimenting with very this is pre-digital. So like analog electronics and like broken record players and tape manipulations and guitar playing machines and doing shows and recording and putting out my own albums. At that point, vinyl had was just kind of being erased on the major label end of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were no vinyl pressing plants in Canada at the time. So I found out who was pressing in the States and who was mastering. And so John Golden would do my mastering for me, and then I'd send it to the pressing plant, and God, I think it was in Tennessee, and then get records shipped to Bellingham. I'd drive down to Bellingham in my 1974 Volvo station wagon. Load it up with these records and send it out. It was just this whole thing, right? There's a whole community, and there's a whole scene built around it, and that was kind of my life for, half a decade to a decade kind of thing, I guess.
And is that how you got involved with Shrimper? And if I'm correct there, were you involved with that record label?
Yeah. I was just thinking about those guys. Dennis.
Mm.
We did a couple little tours down the coast that we booked ourselves and played like these ridiculous shows.
Like
coffee shops and...
Mm.
Go ahead. Like what?
I was just going to ask you what does a ridiculous gig look like at that time?
Well, I remember, like in Eugene, Oregon... We were playing at this place. It sort of felt like a drop-in center or something. It was some kind of collective.
Like a medical clinic? What do you mean by drop-in center?
Well, kind of like for, I don't know, like kind of like for street youth or something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I couldn't quite tell. That was very weird. We tried to play this one show that this young woman booked at the daycare that she worked at, like at night, and the police came. It was like us and like 5 hardcore bands or something. I have no idea why she wanted us there, but the show got shut down by the police immediately. This was in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to this great Mexican restaurant downtown to eat and drink, and it was a great room, tall ceilings and big, and they're like, "Well, come and you can play here." So I think it was about 2 in the morning by this point. So we sat up in the corner of this restaurant and just played for like the dozen people or the sort of like entourage that had been. Yeah. Traveling around together after this show got shut down at the daycare center. I played at the American Music Hall in San Francisco. I thought they wanted me on the bill with
And
the Dead Sea. I don't know if you know those guys.
It sounds very familiar.
Sounds like it could be something.
From New Zealand.
Was this with Good Horsey at this time? These stories, or
both?
Both.
Good Horsey and Portland. Those were like the groups that we did little tours at. So we met Dennis from Shrimper. We went out to. We played in L.A., I guess, with Good Horsey. We must have connected with him through the mail. This is pre-internet. So, yeah, like booking tours and everything looked really different.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. It was pretty crazy. Yeah, so we made friends with the Shrimper guys, and Franklin Bruno came and played in our backyard one year.
Oh, okay.
There were some really great times.
That's very cool. So that
fun
was
fun to remember it.
Yeah, and that was roughly like early '90s to mid '90s sort of timeline.
That's right.
Okay, cool. So we have the last on Discogs. It says the last album that Good Horsey put out was about '96. If that's correct. I always have to make sure, because these sources I have are kind of shady.
It's like the Wikipedia of music.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds close.
Yeah. So what happened?
I thought it was a bit earlier than that.
You're probably the expert.
I moved. No, I'm not. Technology is not my gift, like I say. This feels like a long time ago, and I don't think about it that often.
Yeah.
But that's close enough. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. We'll make it. Discogs will call them up and say, yes, it is 96.
Okay.
So then, '96. There's the last album. What happens there? Why did Good Horsey end there? Or at least I think it did. I believe there's another album that came out in 2017, but I'm not sure if that's by the same Good Horsey.
Yeah, there's a few things that have kind of trickled out.
Yeah.
After the fact. I haven't seen that album. Those are songs that we recorded at the CBC studio.
Okay.
For David Wisdom's Nightlines show.
Okay.
Those would have been recorded like around mid '90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. I was just like. That whole kind of that phase of my life just sort of played out.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time. When I looked at what a successful indie rock career looked like, it wasn't very attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I realized that, I kind of felt like I'd done what I came to do,
mm-hmm.
and plus I wasn't super talented. Like I had a good time, but some of my friends at the time were actually like really talented and really committed, and they were getting record deals, and I watched their careers like taking off, and it kind of gave me something to think about, and I wanted to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get out of Vancouver. And I sold all my stuff and moved to a northern island.
Yeah.
So that was really the thing, I think, that that completed Good Horsey, as in finished it.
Yeah.
Although those guys, Mark and Max, still played together. Yeah, they had another band, Kaposi Park. They played for a few years together.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped playing music. I stopped listening to music. I sold all my records. I sold all my guitars and equipment. And I just wanted I wanted to do something completely different.
Yeah.
I was interested in something totally different. I wanted to it sounds sort of cliche. Maybe it is.
Uh-huh.
I guess I wanted to learn about plants and grow food and connect with something more essential than I was finding in the city.
Okay. I just gotta quickly say there's like a bit of a feedback, like kind of like a clinking noise. Are you moving your phone around or is that just random feedback?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So
I'm not sure.
We'll figure that out. But you said what a successful indie rock band looked like you didn't want to be. What did that mean specifically? Was it touring? Was it like that grind? Or what was unattractive about that life?
That's a good question. Yes, touring. I mean, at the time, people smoked in bars. Mm. So that got really tired for me. It was really gross being in that environment.
Oh, okay.
So there was that. I think I get tired of things.
Okay.
And it just wasn't. I liked music, but it just wasn't like fully my calling. So when I looked ahead and thought, okay, well, if I really succeeded at this, what would my life look like? It wasn't a life that I wanted.
Okay.
Like I say, even though I had friends who were on their way to that, and it really seemed to suit them. But they were also like more talented, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a great time with it.
Uh huh.
I just was done at a certain point.
All right.
And in retrospect, that really fits. Like it makes sense. I was making room for doing something else for the next chapter of my life.
Mm-hmm.
How did you choose marriage counseling?
The moving out of the city and that desire to get connected to something more essential was a part of it. Having a really difficult relationship and then marriage myself was certainly a part of it. I'd experienced marriage counseling a couple of times. I went to some counseling when my own marriage was falling apart, and it made a big impact on me, and I was really curious about that counseling process. I was really curious about sex and love and relationships and what makes them work or not. So it was a curiosity about these things, and then also like my own suffering and trouble around these things got me interested originally.
Okay. That was in about 2008 you started your career in sex and relationship counseling, is that right?
Yeah, I'd done some preliminary work, school, and then 3 years in a training program and supervision. So 2008 was the year that I got certified and started doing that work. And then the last 5 years or so, it's really taken off for me. And I work full-time doing this, and I don't have to work that hard to build a practice anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you do something and then you kind of drop it, like you were saying with your musical career. I'm wondering if though that past musical experience has informed your new career, or if it you find it satisfies maybe some sort of part of you that music part of you did. I'm curious how those two paths collide.
Well, yeah, the relationship between those two really significant parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is I have a 17-year-old son,
mm-hmm.
and he is very musical. He plays guitar, and he's much better than I ever was. he has a band, and he's been into music since he was a child, like always. So I'm not sure exactly how it fits, but sharing that with him and seeing his participation in music and his love for it and his talent mm-hmm. for it, you end up seeing yourself through your kids in some ways, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's a part of what I'm saying. As far as the counseling work that I do, I don't know if it's like directly related, but there's something about timeline and continuity and following your calling, I guess. There's a relationship, but I can't put my finger like directly on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't thought about it really much. I kind of that whole chapter in my life, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about.
Okay. Hey. Well,
I wish I had like a really interesting answer for you.
That's okay. you mentioned your son is musical. Is there any bands or stuff? Maybe we can give those a shout out on the cool college radio show.
His band is Gargoyle City.
Is what, sorry?
And Gargoyle City.
Okay, excellent.
Which I think is a really great band name, actually.
That's a great name. Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been playing with these guys since he was about 14, I guess. And their band name used to be, their first band name was Yard Waste, which I think is a really appropriate, like, first band name.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gargoyle City actually has, like, some lasting power.
Yeah.
So you can find them on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
I think my favorite song might be Scuttlebug.
Ooh. I will say that Pork Queen and Octatractor, these are all really cool names. Did you workshop these all with your son? Did you workshop the name game?
His band names or mine?
His. Did you say,
no.
Hey, I was in Pork
no.
Queen, that's a good name.
No, I didn't. I have like slowly been parsing out like some of the old singles and since he was little,
mm-hmm.
really.
Yeah.
So that's been fun. And I gave him my Sub Pop Nirvana single for his birthday.
Oh, cool.
One year, a few years back. So one of the few things that I'd held on to.
Very cool.
I give him some good stories now and then.
Yeah, you gotta keep them interested, little here and there sort of thing, right?
They're actually playing their first gig in August.
Oh, wonderful.
Quadra. Yeah, with Jason Schroer's Punk Jams touring band or something. I don't know all the details.
Very
cool. We're going to go, of course.
Yes.
Oh, on Cortez, cool. Actually, yeah. Oh, yeah, check out Gargoyle
yeah.
City.
Yeah, definitely. Think? Your son sounds much cooler than I was at 17.
Yeah, Tristan just played the bass.
Oh.
Hello.
The bass actually, like, it gets cooler with age, I think, if you can stick with it.
Yeah, that was the hard part for me. Sticking with it.
So we were wondering.
You know, I've been out. Okay, go ahead.
So we were wondering, since we have you here, if we could bounce some relationship questions off you, because we spend a lot of time with one another. We work together as well as have the radio show, so conflict obviously arises. Do you think we could ask you some quick questions?
Sure, you can.
Awesome. So the first one is, sometimes when we do the show, me and Jack have different ideas about where it should go stylistically, conceptually, and sometimes there's a lot of friction there with differing visions for the show. What would you say we should do there?
I don't have anything to prescribe.
Okay.
Friction in relationships I've come to see as inevitable, necessary, and potentially useful. So there's something about how we use friction. If we're willing to face it and tell the truth about it, and confront it, I guess.
Okay.
So yeah, the ability to actually confront conflict and tolerate the uncomfortable feelings that comes with that is probably the most important part, rather than the content of the conflict.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like Tristan does all the work in terms of planning the show and in terms of where the show wants to go, but I want to show him that I care about the show as much as he does. How can I do that in a more tangible way?
You don't do that?
I do my best, but sometimes, like, Tristan ends up writing more of the music for the show and a lot more of the concrete ideas, whereas I don't think I'm as much of an ideas man as he is. Like, I'm good with situations once we have them. Like, I'm worse at concepts for the show. I'm better at working on the concepts once we have them. But I feel like that isn't as tangible.
Is that a problem for him?
Sometimes I feel like, yeah, like I'm coming up with all the concepts, I think is part of the issue.
And you want Jack to step up more and contribute more in that way?
I think so, yes.
You're not sure?
I mean, yeah, I think I do.
Okay, and Jack, that is difficult for you, or you'd rather not, or it just doesn't come naturally for you?
I don't think it comes as naturally for me. Like, I don't think I'm that kind of creative. I don't know. I'm better at work, like, I'm good at tweaking things versus, like, coming up with the raw idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to get invoiced for this, are we, Justice?
You're not going to get invoiced.
Whew.
You guys obviously have a long-term relationship.
Yeah, very committed.
With a lot of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And finding the roles that suit you best in a relationship is valuable and sometimes difficult. Mm-hmm. And changing those roles and pushing yourself in that way is also valuable and difficult, and it takes time. So we're not gonna get it all figured out in one session.
Okay.
But I can see now that you have a good workable dynamic. Obviously, or we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Very true, very true. I think that's all the questions we had for you, Justice. Is there any thing that you wanted to plug? Did you want to plug your website or anything like that? Your books?
No, I don't need to plug anything.
No,
I just thought, I was just curious. I was just curious to see what you guys had in mind, and
yeah,
it's kind of fun to revisit that chapter in my life mm-hmm. a little bit with someone with two people who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually spent a little bit of time at the station there. My friend had
yes.
a show out there. We played out there a couple of times, so. I've got some fond memories, and it's fun to imagine you guys out there. It's been many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, this has been fun for me. I appreciate it.
That's good. Yeah, we actually found some of the audio from a July 7th, 1994 performance of Good Horsey at CITR on the show Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell, which we'll play a bit with this episode. We'll put that in our musical.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that. Was that Nardwar's show?
No, it was. Was it? I believe it was a person named Evan Simons. Does that sound familiar?
Evan Simons. Yeah. Evan, for sure. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So we'll play a bit of that with the show. So you'll probably get to hear that a bit. And I can send that stuff to you too if that's something you're interested in. Yeah. So I think that's all we had. If there's anything more you'd like to say, we really do. Speak now and forever hold your peace, I guess.
Check out Gargoyle City.
Totally. Yeah, check out Gargoyle City.
Yep.
They're playing a show at Quadra.
If they're playing at Cortez, but find them on SoundCloud. Oh. That's the best thing to do.
Well, thank you so much, Justice.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
Thanks, you guys. Okay.
Yeah, have a good one.
Have a good one, man. And that was our interview with Justice Shan Farber. Up next, I got some music to play for you guys here. I will be playing the Good Horsey performance that I mentioned in the episode. That'll be playing in just a few moments. But before we do that, I'm just going to play a song by Always, one of the best bands in the last year or so, one of my favorites. And that song is In Undertow. See you after the break.
What's left for you? This one is just recently got retitled, More Than 40 But Less Than 100. Phone in with your guesses. Best two feeds a filter red. Someone on the phone from my hotel complicates official statements. To run the updates every hour. Who decides there's time for makeup? A story's hot and they give up, trying to keep the others out of shot. Circling in tight formation. Changes to the water tomorrow, tomorrow. Coming out, peek behind the scenery, covering a media frenzy in the national news.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Welcome back to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia on the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. What you just heard for the last half hour or so was an interview with Justice Sean Farber, who was in a few indie bands in the 90s. And then after that, we played some music by Alves and then Good Horsey, which was one of the bands that Justice was in. And that was at July 7th, 1994, on CITR. That's where that performance was. But I seem to be getting a phone call here. Let me just pick this up. Hello. 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 There's a bit of a...
How you doing, dude? Oh, what's up, man?
Hi. Hey, what's up? Who is this?
What's your name? Oh, bro. Your first-time caller?
Oh, that was that. Well, okay, there's two of you here. What's going on here?
My name's Topher. My name's Wes. We're twins.
Twins, okay. How long have you guys... Well, that's a silly question. You've probably been twins forever, right?
What?
Yo, bro.
We are
bro.
Twins. We're frat bros. Hey, bro.
Wait, what?
Bro, I mean, yo, it's a two-way street. You know, you learn us, we learn you. Who are you?
Well, you called me. This is Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9.
All right, there, Radio Pizza Party. You sound like a cool dude. Where are you headed today?
No, my name is Tristan. My name is Tristan.
Yo, Radio Pizza Party, man. Yo, dude.
That's a cool name. Pizza's a cool middle name, especially.
Yo, Pizza Man. Oh wow. I wish I had Pizza's middle name. Yo, Pizza's a sick middle name.
Mine is just Danger.
Yeah, sick middle name. Mine's Clarence.
Your middle name's Clarence.
Yeah.
What's
Clarence?
So, sorry, remind me, I got Topher. What's the other name?
Topher. Or as they call me, Topher the Gopher.
No, what's the, what? Like, there's two of you. What's the other name? Like, there's Topher and what's the other name?
Lance. Topher and Lance.
Yeah, it's Lance.
But as we go together, Tlance.
Tlance?
Tlance, like T-L-A-N.
Or loafer, you know, because we hang out with our shoes.
Yeah, I like to talk to my shoes. Sometimes.
I only hang out with Topher over here at 5 months.
I'm just gonna interrupt you guys here for a second. Typically, talking one at a time is best to understand. So I'll just remind that.
What?
Well, I was gonna say the same for you, bro.
I was gonna say it at the same time, then.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same.
What?
Never mind
then.
Bro, what are you talking about?
Why don't you ask us some questions?
Yeah, give us.
You're a bad host.
You called into my show, and it's. What are you guys doing right now? Where are you going? What are you doing this Friday evening?
We're driving, man. We're driving to Coachella.
Palm Springs, baby.
Palm Springs, Coachella.
We're going to Coachella, the music festival in Palm Springs.
Yeah. Is that different than Coachella?
Music video festival.
Yeah, what'd you say, dude?
It's a music video festival.
Yeah, dude. It's just a bunch of TVs in the field, right? The new Iggy Azalea music video is
going to... Oh, dude, Iggy Azalea is so sick.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so you guys are driving there right now.
Yeah.
Bro.
Where was the starting destination for this?
Prince George.
Prince George, okay. Normal.
Yeah, we're in a frat up in Prince George.
Oh, they have, what, the UNA, right? Or not UNA, UNBC.
No,
it's UBC.
Yeah.
Wait, no. The
University of Partying and Cool.
Partying?
University of Partying and Cool with a P.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to Coachella, which is not Coachella, I'm guessing.
Is there two?
Yeah, no, man, no. We're going to that one. Yeah.
Wait, you're going to both of them? Well, you missed Coachella.
No, we're going to the one,
the main one. Yeah, the one.
But,
the big one with the stages.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is that's Coachella? So you've been to Coachella?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah. We're on our way.
Yo, man,
I was tying my shoes and our car broke down, but we're on our way.
Yeah, we're going, man. Dude, I got my koozie.
You got a jacuzzi?
No, like a
beer koozie.
Yeah. Oh,
a foam thing.
A koozie.
Come on.
I don't get those because I don't want my beer to be warm, and that's just going to warm it up.
Oh, well, yeah, we do that so it stays warm longer.
Yeah, call it, man. Dude, insulin.
Oh, so you, like, pop it in the microwave?
We put the whole can in the microwave. I'm Mikey Stove. That's why they call us Mikey Stove.
It's not one of my nicknames.
We got a lot of nicknames.
Oh, well, why don't we run through some of the nicknames? So you got...
Nick and names. I'm named. He's Nick.
Yep.
The six tricksters.
Can I just do a quick interruption? Okay, Lance?
Yeah, what's up, bro? Lance speaking.
I think you've called into this show before. Like, I'm just saying, you sound similar, but that's fine. So, nicknames.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Dude, we are more than brothers, man. We're like really close friends.
See, the thing is, this happens so much.
What's more than brothers?
Lance gets mistaken for somebody else whenever he calls in.
Yeah.
That's why we call him Call In Firth.
Call In Firth?
No, Call In Firth, because it's his first time, but they don't think it is.
Bro, because I'm going to call in, right? And everybody's going to be like, I know you from somewhere. And I'm like, everyone knows Lance. Everyone knows Lance.
Yeah, but I always call into Democracy Now. That's why they call me. Called in a bunch of times.
They call you what?
Call in a bunch of times.
There's a weird robot noise when you said that, so I was just concerned.
You think my name is Colin Bleep Bloop?
Yeah, Colin Bleep Bloop. That's what was the concerning part, because I thought that, oh no, I have a robot on the show and I haven't vetted this. This could go wrong.
Well, bro, you just passed the Turing test.
The Turing test? Yo, this guy's certified not a robot.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
you're curing me apart, Lisa.
Hey, room reference. So you guys are going to Coachella. Is there any specific...
Yeah.
So you mentioned Iggy Azalea. So is it like a music festival, except you're just watching music videos?
It's music videos on stage, bro. Dude, they're live.
So they're performing the music videos?
Yeah, something like that. I just bought the ticket.
Yo, bro, dude, we bought them off Kijiji.
Kijiji does tickets?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
He's from Atlanta. You can probably hook this up, man.
Oh, wait, this was a person named Kijiji.
Yeah, bro, yeah. Dude, yeah.
Oh,
Kijiji.
Yeah.
You know?
Linky 5102. Yeah, you ever heard of that guy? Dude, he sells the primo tickets.
Okay, so this is in Palm Springs.
Yeah, man, dude.
Yeah, right outside of Atlanta.
Only like $500 for the two of them.
That's not an only to me. That's quite a bit of money for watching. So are you going to at least see the classics? Is Michael Jackson going to come out and do like Thriller, and then Beyonce is going to do Single Ladies?
He's retired.
Yeah, dude, come on, man. Dude, he's retired. But you know, we're going to Tom Petty. He's going to be playing out there.
Tom Petty is going to be doing like... all his famous music videos. Is he going to do... what's he going to do?
Like Man on the Run.
Man on the Run?
I think he's going to do Canadian Girl.
Okay.
And Pumped Up Kicks. Anyway, that's all I'd like to talk about Tom Petty.
That's all we're talking...
I prefer not to speak of him anymore.
Okay. Well, that's very petty of you.
All right, we're hanging up now.
What?
That's very Tom of you, bro.
You called me.
Well, no, wait, no. T-Bone, can I go T-Bone?
No one's ever called me that in my life before.
Yeah, what is your name, T-Bone?
My name's Tristan.
Where? Yo, bro, where are you from, bro?
I'm from a small town called Castlegar.
Where do you live now?
Vancouver.
What's your address?
What's your social insurance?
Well, my address is 1122 Boogie Woogie Avenue, as we've mentioned on the show before.
Okay.
Oh, word. Okay, sick.
And my SIN number, or my SIN, because adding number to the end of that is a little silly. is the first one they ever give out. So it's 0000000001.
Okay. Oh, that my SIN number is different.
Yeah, that's normal. What's yours?
Mine. I had a different idea of the whole concept. I was like, so I said, whenever I've been sinning, the police arrest me and they're like, what's your number, dude? I'm like, one, I'm not into you in that way. And two, and then I give them my fake number, which is my SIN number.
I always say my SIN number is how many used condoms I got around my place.
What? Why would you say that?
That was 9 digits. 9 figures.
That was my actual SIN number.
That's horrible.
You know, like my actual one is like 5.
That's disgusting.
8.
All right, bro. We're gonna leave you there.
You're gonna leave me on the high note of that, of
yeah,
Lance's.
Yeah, on the high note, and then we're gonna go get high note. Later.
Okay, well, that was, I suppose that was Lance and Topher, who are going to Coachella, a music video festival, which I'm not, I'm pretty sure is they're performing music videos, which is, I guess, interesting if you're really into music videos. But I feel like being big into music videos these days isn't as big of a thing. You know, I don't want no MTV, as they said. That's where I'm at. Well, up next is a band. You know bands. They sing. Sometimes they'll dance if you're lucky. You know, you go in, you buy a ticket, and you're like, hey, I just paid them to sing, but they're doing a little dancing. I'm getting bang for my buck here. Now, this band is called Don't Stop or We'll Die, fronted by Paul Rust, Michael Cassidy, and the late Harris Whittles. This song is called Blood.
Jay, how's it going?
Not,
all right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
Majority of behavior problems in the classroom involve minor breaches of discipline. These incidents frequently originate in the classroom situation itself and are within the control of the teacher. Disciplinary problems in the classroom are symptoms of underlying weaknesses in total learning situation. Mr. Grimes, mathematics teacher, is displeased with the progress of his ninth grade class in mathematics.
You see what low grade you made on your weekly mathematics test? More than half of you failed. Most of those who passed just got by. Nobody had 100%. This is the poorest class I've had in a long, long time. Most of you have no foundation at all. Now the trouble's with your attitude. You don't pay enough attention in class. You don't do enough work outside of it. You don't know what the word study means. You haven't the slightest idea. Don't you realize that mathematics is an important subject? I tell you right now that unless you get over your lazy habits and come up to the standards I've set for this class, many of you will have the pleasure of repeating this course next semester. I have to leave for a few minutes. Now I want you to open your books and work out correct solutions to the problems you missed.
I can't make any sense out of this. I might as well quit.
Gee, you never even took up this third problem. It's a jib.
He's got me scared to death. I'll just never pass this course. What's the use of taking this stuff anyway? I'm afraid to take my paper home.
He's just a sourpuss.
Features the coming buyer's market in automobiles. Then a new department, the sports section. And finally, if we don't run fresh out of time, which quite likely we may, we'll have a piece on trade across the Iron Curtain in Europe. Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight. Willys Overland cuts automobile prices $25 to $270. The top cut is on Willys Overland's well-known Jeepster. Now you'll notice at once that while this is the second post-war automobile price cut, it is by far the biggest one. General Motors, in general, cut prices between $10 and $40 a car. Also, in the GM case, the price cut was definitely tied to a decline in payrolls under a contract that GM had with the union, allowing payroll cuts in the event of a decline in the cost of oil, which took place. In the Willys Overland case, there is no such decline in payrolls. This is a straight and deep price cut in a bid for more business. This symbolizes an important turning point in the change of the automobile industry from a seller's to a buyer's market. Clearly, this is going to have tremendous psychological importance. This cut announced tonight.
Welcome back to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM. What we just listened to was Don't Stop or We'll Die. The song was called Blood. And then after that, I guess the thing we just listened to was Motion Number 2, 1947 by Dr. Decapod from the album Motions from the Ocean. Some of our regular listeners might know Dr. Decapod as Nick Morgan, who does all our intro music and a few other things that we've played throughout the show. He's a kind of a regular. But I do want to quickly just plug something that happened. He got in a bit of an accident, really screwed himself up, fell down a bank, broke his shoulder, had to get surgery, broke his ankle, had to get surgery, concussed, generally incapacitated. So there is a GoFundMe to help with any sort of recovery costs, given that he'll be out of commission for a few months. So just look up, if you just look up Help for Nick and created by Stephanie Morgan, feel free to donate on GoFundMe. I'm sure they would really appreciate that. After you do that, we have another song coming up here. This next song is called ASMR by Scum Lotta, which I think is one of the better names I've heard. And here we go.
I understand it happening once, Francis, but twice, you burn the stakes again, and those were expensive stakes.
Seriously, Francis, this was a T-bone steak we're talking about. It cost me almost $30. And you burned it. This wasn't a New York strip loin or a ribeye. This was a T-bone. A T-bone steak, Francis. A T-bone, T-bone, T-bone.
Even though it's bright and sunny outside, are you still an emotional mess on the inside? Well then come check out Angry and Afraid, the therapeutic comedy show about all our hates and fears, featuring stand-up and sketch comedy. Saturday, July 14th at Little Mountain Gallery at Main and 26th in Vancouver. Doors are at 8 and the show is at 8:30. Plus, we got $4 beers. Go to facebook.com/angryandafraid for details. That's facebook.com/angryandafraid. Let's get emotional, summer style.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Friday, July 6th, the Rickshaw Theatre. Come see Canada's punk rock legends DOA celebrate their 40th year of rabble-rousing. DOA headlines the first annual Fight Back Festival along with Punk Ska Legends Roots Roundup. It's a fabulous, non-stop 10-band bill that will blow your doors off. Hardcore to pop punk to ska to roots. Don't miss the first annual Fight Back Festival, Friday, July 6th.
Welcome back to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia on the unceded territories of the Musqueam people. This is your first time listening. The show is a little bit different today, as I usually have my co-host Jack here with me, but today it's just me, Tristan. Usually we have me and Jack, and we kind of actually have a conversation, but today I figured just because Jack is out of town, I'll play some music, some songs I've been listening to the last week, some songs that I like. You know, like a radio show, they play songs that they like, generally. I mean, no show has all songs they hate. Generally, they at least like some of them. If you have a radio show and you're playing all songs you hate, then maybe we should have a conversation. But I don't think you need to be doing that at this point. So yes, like I said, I've been playing some music. The first song you heard before the break there, or during the break, I should say, was, or I guess before the break, was Scumlotta by ASMR by Scumlotta from their album Scumlotta, which came out just recently. And then after that was Francis Burn the Stakes Again by local comedian Cameron McLeod. And that's from the album An Icon of an Orange Juice Container. Up next, I have two more songs that I'm going to get out of here. We have Pining for a Boy by The Submissives, and then Dumb by Cowboy by Dumb from the album seeing green. There's a lot of moving parts to this whole radio thing, people. I know. It's not as easy as it looks. But I strive forward, even without my co-host. So like I said, the song, we are going to play Cowboy by Dumb, and then after that, Pining for Boys, and then I will be back to say goodbye. Thanks.
Got a bullet in my back, making me limp and go all slack. Catching bounties on the wayward scene, making big boy choices, know what I mean? Caught him drunk in a jail cell. We're still friends, cause we're both going to hell.
And you are listening to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9. I am Tristan, and while I'm solo today, usually I have my co-host Jack. I've made it through the show, and I survived. If you liked this, our show isn't usually like it, so I guess that sucks for you, but we do have a different format usually on other weeks. You can check us out on CITR.com, or .ca, I should say, and find all our past episodes. We are also on iTunes if you want to download us on podcasts and hear our oeuvre, our library of episodes. Up next is, of course, African Rhythm.